Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, and you're listening to a very special encore presentation of Animal World. We'll all be back in the studio again next Sunday at 9 a.m. for another live show. So be sure to join us right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. First spring edition of Animal World. We're here until noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up stream, go to the Animal World website. Actually, the fastest way is go directly to the 1150kknw.com website. Click on listen up, upper left and then listen online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And it is a five-Sunday month this month, so that means an extra Sunday. And we typically now are spending those with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. We had a party crasher during the Love Train. So Nathan is here. Merritt and Beth are here. Guess who joined the Love Train out here at my house?
I'm going to go Robbie.
No, Robbie's always on the Love Train. Bald eagle. Beautiful. Came and just soared right about right here, right
wow.
above us, right out my... That's why I was looking out the way, because I have a big bald eagle. And just came in for Love Train, and Love Train's gone, then left.
Our national bird.
Yep, so our national bird is love training and helping spread that love all over the place. So we are all freshly eagled up on our love train. And golly, don't think we had any takers on phone calls here. But if you know that the people that know, I think, the most about animals all over the planet would be Merritt and Beth Clifton. I swear Merritt doesn't sleep. I don't know how you cram as much as you do into your brain, except that I now know you're special because you're a cat guy. So that has to explain it, why you're able to do what you do. It's all that great cat energy. Anyway, 42 cats. That's a lot. Anyhow, if there is something about animals you want to know about, give us a call. Let us know. And if you don't want to talk to Merritt and Beth and ask your questions, you can just tell Nathan what you want to know about. So if you're interested in anything you want to know, just give Nathan a call, 425-373-5527. All right, Merritt and Beth. So we did, if you weren't here this last hour, we did talk about, you know, the war a bit and animals over there. We now know that I didn't know that cats are the thing in the Middle East, lots more cats than dogs, that there isn't the kind of care going on, especially in like Iran, where most of the bombing's happening and that sort of thing. And the government being nice to animals is against the law. Kinda. You know, I mean, like, what did you say? You can't walk the animals on dogs on leashes. You can't put them in cars. You can. I mean, my goodness. And so if you're
unclean,
pardon me,
the premises that they're unclean.
Oh, okay. That's why they don't, because the animals are unclean. But so it sounds like if you want to help folks or you want to know what's going on, it's this Animals Lebanon is the legitimate rescue that, you know, is kind of doing rescue like we sort of do, and has legitimacy to it. And I just did a little search on Facebook, and they're there, and there's all kinds of information. So that would be the safe place, I think, for people to connect with if they wanted to help in some way.
I would mention here that if you were to compare the Revolutionary Guard in Iran, which I think has the worst record on animals of any nation in the world.
Really? Okay.
Compare that to the Taliban, who, you know, we tend to think of as the devil incarnate. The Taliban is not animal unfriendly, and they have suppressed cockfighting and dogfighting, which were rampant when the Americans were over there, but the Taliban had suppressed it before and are suppressing it now. So far as I know, they are not discouraging normal dog and cat keeping or spay neuter. In fact, one British project that's been operating over there, the Mayhew Home for Animals, is still operating in Kabul with the government's blessing. They're in the process of transitioning it to all Afghanistan management. So the issues there are not issues that have anything to do with Islam per se, or even with Sharia law. They have to do with the Iranian government in particular. That's my two cents or shekels or whatever on that topic.
Yeah, and who knows what's going to happen now. The reason that they're object to the dogs and is basically related to cleanliness.
Well, it's really related to seeing keeping dogs as a symbol of the West, of what they see as Western decadence.
Western culture that they don't want in there.
Exactly, because in fact, Iran is one of the very first places historically where dogs were domesticated and kept for use in work and as household pets. There's records of people keeping dogs in Iran that go back many thousands of years. We're talking maybe 5,000 years. So it's not even something endemic to Iran. It's something specifically endemic to the attitudes of the Revolutionary Guard government.
Wow. So what do you think, there's any resolution coming to this whole warring thing going on over there right now?
Well, we're not war correspondents, so we're really political correspondents. We can't tell you much beyond the animal side of things. We rely on the same pundits as everybody else for that.
Well, yeah, I just and are you in contact with these the Animals Lebanon folks?
Yes.
We're in contact with them fairly often. We're not in contact with the few Iranian rescuers for the simple reason they're not in contact with anybody. Their internet.
Well, yeah, everything's shut down for them right now, isn't it?
Totally shut down for quite a while now. But even when there wasn't a war going on, their internet communications have been strictly limited. So it's very difficult to get current information out of Iran.
Okay, so it sounds like, you know, in the meantime, I mean, if there is great information, I know that you guys, you'll put a post together and share it with everyone. But in the meantime, this Animals Lebanon, a good contact and to follow and to get current information. I just wondered if maybe they know something that we don't know, and if they're encouraged at all at this improving, a situation improving over there or not.
Well, in the last, pertaining to Iran, in the last 45 years since the Iranian Revolution, there is only one Western animal advocate that I know of, a man named Nick Jukes, who's an anti-vivisection campaigner in England, who has even been allowed into Iran.
Uh-huh.
Of course, when the current war broke out, I've known Nick for years and years, and we contacted Nick right away, and it turned out that even though he had pretty good contacts in Iran at the time, he hasn't had any communication with anybody there in a long time either.
Wow.
Because even though he was an invited guest, they're still very afraid of any kind of outside influence or communication or anything.
It's unstable there that Animals Lebanon has been discussing moving their office because it's so unstable.
Yeah, this is in Lebanon rather than Iran,
in Lebanon.
They're afraid of the bombing overtaking their location.
Wow.
It's
well, all we can do, is pray and send good energy and follow Animals Lebanon, and you can keep up with it that way. Gosh, but.
We're talking
yeah,
about
there's so us. Much to learn, at least fascinating. Like I said, I told you, I've learned so much about, the part of India and that part of the world and the animals and how they live with them and all of that. But Middle East, that's a whole different ballgame and fascinating. I'm sure there's a lot for us to learn. I just think that the history of what has gone on over there is there just is such a history and so much that I don't think we really have an understanding and can relate to a lot of it. So we just have to focus on the highest good, do what we can, let's send love and light. So, and what else in the animal world is going on that we should talk about today?
Well, two people I'd like to talk about, Wayne Chung and Warren Cox, totally different subjects, but Wayne is the founder of an organization called Direct Action Everywhere. He later left that organization, although he still has a lot to do with it, and started a blog called The Simple Heart, which is about animal issues, in particular animal use in research. And this last week, last Sunday actually, he organized a mass, what he calls open rescue of beagles, at Rigland Farms, which is one of the last major breeders of beagles for biomedical research in the United States.
Oh, okay.
Thousands of beagles in one location.
They have they had about 2,500 beagles at this location. They're down to about 2,000, and they're under an agreement with Dane County, Wisconsin, to shut down the facility completely by the end of June of this year.
I didn't realize there's still places like that, but they like 2,000 beagles. One part of the because beagle colonies are used in labs for research and so forth. They kind of choose beagles, I guess, because they're pretty congenial dogs
social
and
nature.
Right.
Social nature and so forth. I'll tell you, though, I have worked with some beagles that have been adopted out of these lab situations. Man, that's not an easy thing to do. I mean, well, beagles, you know, they're hounds. I have no idea why Schultz ever made Snoopy a beagle. It was not a wise choice because beagles are not easy. Hounds are not easy. They're stubborn and all nose and can be very challenging. And I found some of the most difficult dogs I've had to work with and change behavior have been these rescued lab bred beagles. Well, so is that practice on its way out now, or are we still?
Well, yeah, see, Schultz had to find a beagle who could fly an airplane.
Yeah.
Fly a doghouse, no less.
That's true. Yep. Snoopy's an exception.
The biggest producer of beagles for biomedical research was a company called Envigo in Virginia, which was shut down a couple of years ago. And we talked about that on your show when it
happened. Right.
Ridgeland Farms is the third, or was the third largest. Now it's the second largest. It's on its way out. And the second largest was Marshall Farms in upstate New York, which is still very much in business. And there's only one more besides that, which is much smaller. But what Wayne Chung wants Ridgeland to do is to send all of their beagles out to rescue rather than sell the remaining stock to laboratories. And they have at this point about 5 months left to do it before they have to be shut down. So what he did is he organized a group. He tried to get hundreds. He got 36. They went into Ridgeland Farms and broke a door down and broke a window and carried out 31 beagles last Sunday.
You may want what open rescue is. So the
open, open rescue differs from what outfits like the Animal Liberation Front used to do. Open rescue is not breaking into somewhere in the middle of the night and trying to get away with the animals. It's done right out in the open as an act of civil disobedience with the intent to get arrested and basically put the company on trial as well as the activists.
They call law enforcement and tell them,
Tell them we're going to do this, so please come arrest us. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. It's a tactic that is, it's modeled on the things that Martin Luther King Jr. and Mohandas Gandhi used to do. And Wayne Chung is very much a student of them and their tactics and so forth. He's also, by the way, a former county prosecutor in Dane County, Wisconsin. He is a lawyer himself. He's used this tactic successfully in a number of other situations. And usually when he gets into court in front of a jury, he wins the case that what they were doing is legitimate and legal under it's sort of a defense of necessity, but not the classic defense of necessity. He points out that these animals are being held in violation of a whole string of both federal and local laws, which they well document. And
neglect and cruelty are being committed on these dogs,
right,
without anesthesia, surgery without anesthesia, and things like that.
And Wayne and some of his followers have also done this successfully, by the way, in British Columbia about a year ago. And we covered that. In any case, of the open rescuers last Sunday, 27 were arrested. 8 of the beagles they took were confiscated by law enforcement and returned to Ridgeland Farms. 23 of them are still in the hands of the rescuers and will probably not be found and reclaimed. And Wayne Chung is now trying to organize an even bigger action at Ridgeland Farms for April 12. Now he's hoping to get 2,000 rescuers, which should be enough for one of them to take out each one of these beagles. In view that he looked for a couple hundred and got 36, I think he may get maybe a couple hundred next time around. But in any event, it definitely puts the pressure on Ridgeland Farms to rehome the beagles if they can. And it's not like the biomedical research community is knocking down doors to buy the beagles. The demand for beagles is way down, in part because the Department of Defense has stopped using beagles in experiments under pressure from an organization called White Coat Waste Project. And the National Institutes of Health has decreased their funding for beagle studies. And the FDA basically stopped beagle studies.
These campaigns are extremely well organized. They were all wearing hazmat suits. They all had a plan. Of course, things can go wrong, like trying to get in through the door. They were having trouble breaking through the door. But these are very well planned, very peaceful, nonviolent, cooperate with law enforcement type of campaigns. So they're very successful and very popular.
I had to agitate Wayne Chung about his method of going through the door. It had external hinges. And if you know anything about hinges, you know, you just take a nail and pop the doornail out, and just lift the door right off.
Right.
Wayne was trying to go in the front way with a wrecking ball and not having a lot of luck. So,
as he's dressed, looking very much like a lawyer in a suit and a black coat, and he's a classy guy. He really is. And very, very sincere.
Well, it's good. It sounds like what really bringing to light what's going on here, because I really kind of thought that world of, you know, beagle breeding and stuff for labs was you know, done or gone, or at least on the way out.
On the way out, it's not gone. One of the people who was arrested with Wayne, by the way, one of the leaders, Alexandra Paul, is also very well known in this area. She and her brother, Jonathan, have done a lot of activist work in the Puget Sound area. She's better known of having been one of the stars of a TV program long ago called Baywatch.
With Pamela Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
She was one of the lifeguards.
Jonathan Paul, who's a firefighter, had an organization here called Sedna that was trying to stop the macaw whaling years ago. So that's how he's known in this area.
All right. Well, I'm for Bigfoot stomps around here. I just looked at the clock. We better take care of advertisers because we got to do that twice this hour. So let's take care of that, and we'll come back and continue our discussion with Merritt and Beth Clifton are here from animals247.org, and we're talking about some special people here and animal stuff and more to come. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed by all that's happening in the world? Triggered by people around you? What's going on in your personal life? Or shifting energies? Looking for inspired guidance? Need to talk? Natasha Ventner, intuitive personal awareness coach and medium, can help by sharing insights, tips, and tools to support you through life's glitches and snags. Natasha helps you empower yourself. Visit Natasha's website, intuitiveclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and heartfelt caring approach can help you. That's intuitiveclarifications.com.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Hi, this is Stacy, and you're listening to a very special encore presentation of Animal World. We'll all be back in the studio again next Sunday at 9 a.m. for another live show. So be sure to join us right here on Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are just about midway through this hour, last hour of our first spring edition of Animal World. We heard from our New Pro Supplements, NUP, as in PeterROSupplements.com. Great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets. You can check them all out at NewProSupplements.com. You can find a lot of the dog stuff in local pet stores, or you can order on the New Pro website, but all the products are also available on Amazon. So check them out, newprosupplements.com. If you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on, come join our Animal World family of advertisers. We'd love to have you. If you're interested, shoot us an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. And then we snuck in Natasha, our communicator, medium, and psychic gal, and you can check her out at intuitiveclarifications.com. She's got a YouTube channel, Natasha Venter IC, the letters IC for intuitive clarification, Natasha Venter IC on YouTube. And that's where you can find her podcast every week at 4 p.m. and a lot of other stuff archived there if you want to listen. And she's also available for personal readings, and which you can book through her website, intuitiveclarifications.com, or you can give her a call at 360-770-7486, 360-770-7486. Yeah, alrighty then. We are in the middle of a discussion with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. Now, so Merritt, you were telling us about a couple of folks that you want to talk about and, you know, the great work they're doing. We were talking about beagles and research. What else do we need to know?
Well, I also wanted to mention Warren Cox. Beth and I spent a lot of time this past week putting together a 30-page booklet, which we will have available as a free download from our website, about a man named Warren Cox. Not very many people have ever heard of Warren, but because he's always been a very quiet, unassuming background kind of a guy. But just about everything good that you may know about animal sheltering here in the 21st century is something that Warren helped to introduce, pioneer, promote, encourage among his fellow shelter operators during a career of shelter management that spanned from 1952 all the way up to 2012, when health issues finally obliged him to retire to Frisco, Texas. During that period of time, 60 years, he headed sheltering organizations, 30 different sheltering organizations around the country, always as a teacher and an innovator, including here in Washington and just across the line in Portland. He was a co-founder of Spoke Animal, before that in Spokane. Before that, he was a director of the Spokane Humane Society. He also was headed the Oregon Humane Society for a time, was a co-founder of the Willamette Valley Humane Society in suburban Portland. He's just done a tremendous amount. So we put together this booklet. He recently turned 91. He's no longer in good health, but we wanted to bring him a bit of recognition while he's still around. He is very well thought of by fellow professionals who he's mentored over the years. I'll tell you how I first met the guy. I'd heard of him, and I thought of him as being one of these larger-than-life figures, at least within the field, not known to the public.
But sounds like he is, or was, anyway.
I had never met him. I'm standing in the food line at the American Humane Association annual conference in Baltimore in 1993. And they didn't have the food clearly marked as to what was vegetarian and what wasn't. So I started raising hell about that with some of the American Humane Association people present, including Dennis White, who was then the head of the Animal Protection Division. And they're telling me, well, hardly anybody's vegetarian. And this small, quiet, 60-year-old guy with glasses steps out from behind me and he says, well, I'm vegetarian. That's Warren Cox. And everything just stops. And Dennis White immediately ordered that all the food should be clearly marked as to what was and what. And the hotel people and the AHA people who were present got started doing it. I'm wondering, who is this guy?
Right.
Well, this is himself.
He opens his mouth and the world stops.
Warren, it turned out, at that point, around 30 years before, had given Dennis White his first job in humane work.
Ah.
And then a few years later, he'd actually fired Dennis White for drinking on the job. And then later, Warren had applied for the job as head of the Animal Protection Division of the American Humane Association. Dennis, because Dennis was younger, had beaten him out. Despite this history of rivalry and having been fired, there was nobody Dennis White respected more than Warren Cox. And when Warren spoke, he listened.
Now, yeah, apparently so.
That story has an encore. In 1995, I was at the American Humane Association conference in New Orleans. And after conference hours the first day, a bunch of us, of course, wanted to go out and walk around the French Quarter. And I was assigned, along with two other longtime shelter professionals, both now deceased, Vicky Crossetti and Rick Collard, who used to head the Humane Society in Port Angeles. We were supposed to keep an eye on Dennis White and keep him out of trouble. And I got carried away listening to the live jazz, in particular a fellow named Professor Longhair, who was playing, and lost track of Dennis. And Vicky and Rick finally dragged me away from that. We couldn't find Dennis. We found Warren Cox, though. Warren didn't drink. And he was just walking around enjoying the sights, and he joined us. We split up into teams, one of us going each direction with anybody else we knew of who knew Dennis, looking for Dennis. We were out there till around midnight. We never found Dennis.
Oh, wow.
And the next morning, we found out that, number one, Warren had found Dennis, but too late. Warren had been, Dennis had been drunk in front of many of the board members of the American Humane Association. He was fired the next morning, and I was right there when he came out of the room.
Wow.
Me and Vicky and Rick all felt very bad about it because we had not found him in time, and Warren had found him. Warren had come through. He just unfortunately come through a bit too late.
Something very important about Warren was that he was very unhappy how many dogs were being euthanized, if you want to call it that, at that time. We're talking really back in the day when they used gas chambers for dogs and cats.
Decompression.
I remember that. I remember that.
He was very important in professionalizing animal control and animal sheltering. And so he got rid of the very last gas chamber for animals.
Well, it wasn't the last one, but he got rid of the one in Dayton, Ohio, which is one of his later stops. But earlier than that, decompression was used. And Warren was front and center in getting rid of decompression everywhere he went, and getting rid of gassing, too, in favor of pentobarbital euthanasia.
Right, humane euthanasia, right.
But even more important than that, every shelter he ever worked at, remember I mentioned he headed 30 organizations, was euthanizing fewer animals when he left than it had when he came, because he had ramped up their spay-neuter efforts in particular at a time when it wasn't really a project the Humane Societies did. Warren introduced that and promoted it. And he also, of course, introduced adoption techniques. Like, we don't think anything at all now of people advertising dogs and cats for adoption on TV. But Warren was the very first one to do it on the Marshall J. Show out of Ohio in 1957.
Wow.
Also the first to do it here in Washington State out of Spokane. And I believe he was the first to do it in Portland and a couple other places he worked in Oregon. Now it's a universally accepted technique, but Warren was doing it for 30 years before anybody else really emulated him. So a lot of other things he did like that that are behind the scenes people don't even know about. He would do it.
Well, I'm so glad that, you know, that you've written this booklet and that you're getting this all down, because I didn't know about all these things he's done. But it's amazing to me how, you know, you find just, you know, a handful of special souls that come in with a mission. And man, it sounds like he accomplished all kinds of, and it's still here that, you know, he hasn't left yet. But what you said, he's 91 now. But what an incredible lifetime he led, and what incredible things he did and started. And it's amazing how that he's at the beginning of all kinds of things for animal welfare and so forth.
The things that I learned from Warren, I toured, he was heading the Dallas SPCA at that point, and I noticed there were a hell of a lot of fire extinguishers on the walls in the dog runs. And I asked him, why do you have all these fire extinguishers here when there's nothing that can catch fire? I had been a firefighter, volunteer firefighter. I had professional training. So I thought I knew quite a lot about fire and fire hazards and so forth. But he pointed out to me the uses of fire extinguishers in breaking up dog fights and breaking off dog attacks.
Uh-huh.
That. But me and Beth have been passing out that tip for years now. And it's actually saved a lot of human lives and a lot of dog lives.
Wow.
In situations where otherwise somebody would have to resort to a gun. The fire extinguisher, between the sound and the volume of spray it puts out and all the rest of that, and the fact that CO2 has some anesthetic effect. And we've checked this out statistically. It's almost as effective in stopping an attack as using a gun. I didn't know that until Warren told me. But
many times,
well, I didn't know that either. That's going in my toolbox now. I'm going to remember that.
Many times firefighters will show up at a scene, and the savvy ones, and they will take the firemen, if they come up on a dog attack, they're usually called two. They'll whip out their fire extinguishers and use them, and it works.
How cool. All right, looking at the clock, and I'm going to try to be exactly on time so that Bigfoot doesn't get upset. And so let's take care of our advertisers. Last time in this hour, and more Animal Talk with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org coming up right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping, or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Hi, this is Nathan coming to you from behind the board, and today we have a very special encore presentation of Martha Norwalk's Animal World. From all of us in the Animal World family, we wish you all a happy weekend, and we look forward to being with you again on next week's live show from 9 a.m. to noon on Sunday, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Oh, I was hoping you could hear the motoring going on here, because the show got crashed during the commercials. And my Buzzy Abyssinian, this is my elderly, Buzzy's on his way to 14, but he came marching in. The kitties don't usually come in for the radio. And he said, "I heard there's a cat man in the house. I came to say hi." So Buzz came in. He says, "I usually don't get away with snuggling with my mom when she's on the radio. But he's here motoring up a storm just to say hi to Merritt."
And by that, you mean purring?
Uh-huh. Aww. Yep. Well, that's why his name is Buzz. Buzz around the house.
He's the purrer,
isn't
he?
He buzzes all the time, don't you?
Is that an Abyssinian thing?
Yeah. I see.
If you check on the map where Abyssinia was, it was part of the Persian Empire, which became modern-day Iran. So it's one of the cat varieties from part of the world.
Is that coming through?
No, we're not hearing the purrs, unfortunately.
So now, what did you say? That Abyssinia is somewhere close to Iran or something?
It was part of the Persian Empire. The nation that evolved into modern day Iran. So you have a lot of different cat varieties come from the Middle East. The Abyssinia is one of them. The Turkish Van Cat is another.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Abyssinians own the cat half of my heart, especially the ruddies. I call them dogs and monkeys in cougar suits. You know, they're phenomenal cats. Very high maintenance. If they had thumbs, we'd be in big trouble because they'd run the planet. Anyway, I love my Abbeys. But Buzzy's the last in the line of all of my Abyssinians. And anyway, he's wonderful. And they do motor a lot. But anyway, he wanted to say hi. So that was fun. So anyway, I got totally distracted. So what did we? Oh, we did advertisers, didn't we? So let's see. Remember Whispering Dragon, Jude Ponton, the great sound healer and Accutonics chiropractic, not the cracking kind. It's really special. She's the one that put me back together. And I've had a miraculous healing and am more stable than I've ever been, in the last 10 years. It's really amazing. She is a phenomenal healer. And you can check her out at whispering-dragon.com, online, Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook, or you can just give Jude a call and arrange to go in and see her. She can work with you remotely, too, but it's really incredible to work with her in person. The number to call is 206-706-2836. 206-706-2836. All righty then. And gosh, Nathan adjusted the camera. Looks like there's a little blue sky and sunshine poking out down there.
The sun's starting
area.
To make its presence known here in the greater Seattle area.
Okay, stretching as far as I can.
Yeah, kind of looking north
and
south.
By golly, if I really stretch, there's just a titch of blue.
And so are you looking to the south or to the north when you see that?
Well, that's to the south.
Okay, yep.
One up. Yeah, so it must be making its way up here. Over there on Whidbey, Merritt and Beth, are you seeing any blue sky or sunshine yet?
Yeah, it's getting there.
All right, so yay! I don't have to scoop poop in the rain again. I get to do Sunday chores in the sunshine, it looks like, maybe. How fun is that? That's great. All righty. So we, Merritt and Beth Clifton, are here from animals24-7.org. You can go to that website anytime, donate to the cause, but also sign up for the newsletter, and then you will get the regular newsletters that come out that give all us this great information and so forth. Now, anything more about Master Warren Cox? I mean, my goodness, he's sounds like majorly responsible for improving the world of animal rescue and sheltering and all that sort of stuff. So anything more on those subjects that you want to discuss?
Well, I think that kind of wraps up the highlights. We will be publishing the biographical booklet on the website soon. I wanted to say a few words about mice. We've gone from cats to mice.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Mice are the mammals who are most used in biomedical research, but they're not covered by the Animal Welfare Act. So,
okay, well, now that's true. Mice are used. Now, I happen to really love mice. I had mice as pets as a kid and rats. But you're right, they are used in research, but you said they are not covered by animal stuff?
They're not protected by the Animal Welfare Act in the U.S., and their numbers are not tracked. They're conditions are inspected by an organization called ALAC, which is a private organization. But other than that, there's very little regulation of how mice are taken care of. And we usually don't have a very good handle on knowing how many are used, other than that they're 95 to 99% of the mammals used. But
wow.
An interesting paper was published recently and reviewed extensively in Science that found over the last 30 years a drop of more than two-thirds in what are called model organism studies, where several different kinds of animals are used to discover things like genetic heritability, things like that. And 80% of Nobel Prize winners over this period of time have used model organisms, including mice, also fruit flies, worms, goldfish, yeast. And a 68% drop over 30 years is pretty phenomenal and suggests that these methods of using the whole animal are being replaced by things like computational toxicology, organ on a chip,
AI,
artificial intelligence, et cetera. So we looked into that and we posted our findings about that this morning.
I haven't seen it yet.
A good news, bad news joke in that it turns out that the decline is not really in the actual number of animal experiments being done in the model organism area. It's simply because there's so much more science being done. The total area that used to be done with model organisms is now being done more than two-thirds not using the animal models. So there's just a heck of a lot more being done. Now, the good news that comes out of this is that there does seem to be a takeover of the field by the non-animal methods. And in the long run, that will be good news for mice. But right now, unfortunately, the mice appear to be still being used in the same phenomenal numbers.
Yeah, and my big objection to this whole world is how they refer to it. You know, what you're talking about, these, what do you say, the animal models, or and what did you call the whole thing?
Model organism.
Yeah, model organisms. Okay, they use those words to be able to distance themselves from these creatures and make them like non-things. Okay, but I'll tell you, you know, I talk to everybody, and I don't care if they're insects or reptiles, mammals, birds, whatever, mice. They all have feelings. They all have emotions. They all have the ability to communicate and all of this, and we sorely have not given them credit. for who they really are. And but it's how the medical community and most of these people have hearts and they're in the medical profession because they want to serve and want to do good things for people and healing and all of that. But they've labeled the animals and put them in another place to make them to be able to do this and not have to consider the fact that they aren't using anesthesia. They aren't doing, you know, these animals are not properly cared for and they suffer and they do have feelings and all of that. And it is important and we need to wake up and all that. But it sounds like, so how did you say a 68% reduction in how 30 years?
Over 30 years.
Okay. That's pretty significant. So it sounds like we're moving in the right direction, but we got to stop calling them animal models or
model organism.
We got to stop that because it takes them out of the feeling living being type thing.
That goes all the way. It's a term that encompasses things all the way from yeast up to the mouse, which is the most advanced animal that's in that category. But it's a very broad term. Now, what's going on with mice also needs to be separated because it's a different type of use from what's going on with monkeys, dogs, cats, hamsters, guinea pigs, and rabbits, all of which are covered by the Animal Welfare Act. And we have seen also a ballpark of 50% to two-thirds drop in the use of those species since 1966, when the Laboratory Animal Welfare Act came into effect and required counting those animals. Larger animals are not being used so much in very large part because of activist pressure and public disagreement with the use of monkeys and dogs and cats and even rabbits, hamsters, and guinea pigs. Whereas there's not been a whole hell of a lot of public attention or activism on behalf of mice. And what progress has been made on behalf of mice and rats is mostly progress being made through advances in science itself. They're discovering that these guys are not such good models for quite a lot of the things that they've been used for, even when they can be genetically modified to better mimic human structures, as it has been done extensively with mice. You get things like the oncomouse that responds to human cancers, for example. But there's better ways of doing that that have been discovered. And it's scientists themselves largely, not because of activist pressure and not because the numbers are being published, who are moving away from the use of mice, whereas they're moving away from the use of dogs and cats and monkeys because activists are all in their case for these experiments. You have guys like Wayne Chung, for example, with the work he's been doing on behalf of beagles. And that's encouraging science to move away from the use of beagles. White Coat Waste Project working to defund the research on dogs and cats that's still going on. But there's nothing comparable to that on behalf of mice. So it has to be the scientists themselves turning away.
And I do think a lot of product type companies, like what's coming to mind would be like makeup for people. You know, I mean, a big thing now is, you know, when they're advertising and stuff is no animal testing. And so that's pretty big in that world now that they're moving away from any animal testing.
That's been good for a really long time. Henry Spira, who's a very good friend of mine, a former journalist, organized Animal Rights International, whose first big campaign was to convince Avon and Revlon to stop animal testing in 1980. Yeah. Henry went on from there to persuade Procter & Gamble to fund this massive effort to develop alternative methods for everything that animals were used for in the consumer product area. And they've kept their word long after Henry's death, long after the deaths of the people that he worked with, putting methods, making them available free to other corporations so they don't have to use animals in product safety testing anymore, except as required by law. And we have seen some of those laws now being repealed and dismantled because, frankly, they're obsolete. Yeah. The first one to be dismantled was something called the Delaney Clause, which was repealed way back in 1996. So we're seeing progress. It just seems damn slow at times.
All right. Well, but that's going to be, you know, at least the good news we can end on is that we are, there is progress happening. We're doing less and less. The Beagles are, you know, they're working their way out of that and all of that. And we just have to keep the pressure up on all of this and keep talking about it because we are evolving to a higher consciousness and it won't involve torturing our animal friends. Anyway, I so appreciate you, Merritt and Beth Clifton. Check them out at animals24-7.org. Sign up for the newsletter. Donate to the cause if you can. And Merritt and Beth are here the first Sunday of every month from 11 to 11:30. We do a animals24-7.org update. And then when we have extra Sundays, I get them in whenever we can. But bless you. Thank you. Say hi to Henry and Arabella, the chickens. And thanks, Sebastian, for checking in. And thank you for being here.
Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you, Martha.
Thank you, Nathan, for all you do, keeping us on the air and all that good stuff. And hopefully you'll root the Mariners on to victory. And
I absolutely will.
Yeah, Nathan's holding his breath until the Mariners start because he lives for Mariners baseball.
Anticipation is here.
Yeah, and the Bigfoot contract got renewed for a year, so he's good. So anyway, enjoy opening day, Nathan, and root for the Mariners, everybody, to make Nathan happy. And then encore presentation next week, repeat of our energy balancing show, and you can get a surrogate healing just by listening along and following Linda's instructions. And then join me on Easter Sunday. Nathan and I will be here for Shelter. Oh, and hopefully you guys can join me. It'll be Easter Sunday. Will be the first Sunday of April. We'll all be here. Merritt and Beth are nodding their heads. They'll be here too. And as always, I leave you with animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to, open your heart, share your love with all living things. And we'll talk to you again next week. God bless. Thank you.